Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
You're listening to 95 The One, 1080 KYMN Radio, streaming live on kymnradio.net. Emanating from beautiful Northfield, Minnesota, this is On Tap with Corey and Ira. I am Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And we've got a big show on tap today. Haha, see what I did there? That was really stupid. Leave this in there, though. But we do have a big show. It's kind of a big deal. What's going on?
Well, we're kind of celebrating 1 year on the air. This will be our 27th show, so...
Look at us now.
Yeah. Look how far we've come. And humorously enough on that, we're actually going to go back to our very first show where we went back to talk to Montgomery Brewing 1 year later. But this time we, of course, went on site on a rather busy Friday night. And that was a lot of fun, a lot of kind of chaos going on around us and stuff. And had a great chance with to sit down with the boys over there and, of course, Lindsay and chit-chat with them a little bit about what's going on. Got Andrew in with another style of the week. He's a little feeling a little British lately, so you know, we get another kind of British style. And, of course, some big hitters coming out of Firehouse Liquor. So it's a fun show.
For beers of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we're at Montgomery for this week's show. There is no more appropriate guest to have than Montgomery. They've been such great supporters of ours in the past year. Just simple things like liking and sharing posts on social media, but also interacting with us. Taking care of us sometimes when we stop by and sending samples back with us to talk about on the show. So it's one of our best friendships we've kind of cultivated through the show. So we really appreciate what those guys are doing over there with Chuck and AJ and Lindsay and the whole team. Great place. It was a great night. We had a blast. Obviously, the beer was on point. We will get to that here shortly. You mentioned the crowd. I'd like to think a little bit of our promotion brought some people out there. I know we had one rowdy table there for us, so you can listen for them. We might have a little fun with them throughout the interview. But yeah, it was a great setting for a Friday night in February, or actually it was late January when we recorded that. Just some scheduling, we got there a little early. And hats off to them. They just celebrated their 30-year anniversary, so they're going strong, looking at year four now, and we talk a little bit about that on the show as well. So thanks to Montgomery for hosting us. It was a blast, and maybe we'll do it for year two if we don't strangle each other before then. So, and thanks to all you listeners for giving us your time over the last year. We've done... 26 shows? This is number 27, as you said, Ira. And we're doing it for fun. That's all we do here is have fun. We both have day jobs, and we just kind of enjoy drinking beer, talking beer, and kind of highlighting what's going on in our neck of the woods in southern Minnesota. So thanks for coming along with on the ride with us. If you want to stick with us a little bit longer and find out what's going on elsewhere, we've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can see all our upcoming guests. We're booked through June, so we've got a busy spring here coming up. A lot of great guests, a lot of first-time guests. Then we're going to have a couple friends come back on and catch up with them down the road and see what's been going on last year. A
couple of fermentation friends as well. So.
Yeah, we've got a distillery coming. We've got a cidery coming. And then, of course, beer, because that's where our focus is most times. So we're going to mix it up a little bit here this spring. We've got some cool guests coming up. So you can find those on our Facebook page. That's On Tap Northfield. Just search facebook.com/OnTapNorfield on the Google or whatever. Or just On Tap Corey and Ira should bring it up. Twitter, same thing. On Tap Northfield, Instagram, On Tap with Corey and Ira. We put up photos, we put up messages, we beg people to share us so we can increase our likes and followers because that's how people hear more about us. And if you're not listening to this live on radio right now, you're probably listening to us by podcast or on our website, ontapnorfield.com. We are able to go with you wherever you go. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Now, Blair FM, the TuneIn Radio app. And if you are listening to us live in the radio, like someone told me they did last week, thank you. But you can also take us on the road with you if you like. And the benefit of that is that you can catch up on all our prior shows so you can see who we've chatted with and what they've got going on. And it's a good study for when we have them back on so you can see where they were and kind of where they're going when we have them back. So we mentioned social. We mentioned our Facebook, our Twitter, and our websites. We've got a show coming up, right? Still yet?
Oh, yeah. We got a long one coming up, folks. Yeah. Buckle in.
We were hoping to record the intro and the outro at the actual event. Didn't work out time-wise, so here we are after the fact. But now that we're a few beers in, it seems like we've been talking about this for 4 weeks.
Yeah. Well, no, there was a band setting up beforehand, or you know, getting ready, so we couldn't sit there as long as we would like to, but it was getting louder and louder in there. I don't know if we could have pulled off recording even if we wanted to.
But it was a fun show, so you should stick around and listen to that.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering is Bell's Hop Slam Ale. This one's a really interesting one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a double India Pale Ale brewed with honey. As they put it, an exceptional aromatic blend of hops combined in this balanced interpretation of the double IPA, best enjoyed as fresh as possible. This one's really interesting. I was kind of questioning what the honey flavor would be like, and it is right there, and it's a really nice sweetness. It kind of blends well with the hops, which you think of the hops and the bitterness and, kind of that bite to it and stuff, and the honey kind of like smooths in there.
Softens it.
Yeah, it's an interesting flavor. Definitely not for the faint of heart a little bit on this one. It comes in a little strong at 10%, but yeah, this is a really interesting flavor. We talked about a double IPA a little earlier, but this is an interesting flavor. At first, I wasn't sure what I was going to think of it, but I think this is an intriguing one. I think I like it.
Well, I hope you like it. It's a good beer. I definitely like it. It's one of those big beers that get released annually. People chase around for this, try to find them on tap, try to find them in liquor stores. It's a big release every year from Bell's. And as we look to March and the spring, that's a big double IPA season. Now, obviously, the seasons expand to year-round. Double IPAs are available year-round. But traditionally, double IPAs have been a spring beer. You come out of the cold winter, and you're ready for a little more hop and a little more flavor that way. And this is a big one that people have been chasing for years. And, I've had it for probably 3, 4, 5 years now. It's hard to keep track, obviously, after so many years. But I'm not one of these people who have maybe as developed of a palate or developed of a memory where I can say year to year, well, this one's better, this one's bad. Because people do that with a lot of different beers. We talked about the so-called whales back in November, December with like the Surly Darknesses and the like. And this would be in the same kind of template as that, just on the hoppy side versus the malty and boozy side. It's a good beer. It's definitely one I look for every year. Fortunately, it's readily available almost everywhere. Firehouse has it, obviously, but you can find it on tap in most places nowadays. I know there's a couple places in Northfield that have it on tap. It's a tasty beer, but you pay for it, too. It's not going to be $2 a pint, that's for sure.
No, but at the same time, the nice thing is they do serve it in a 12-ounce can. You're not having to buy a 750 milliliter, right, at a higher price tag where you kind of have to say, I'm going to commit to enjoying this. 12-ounce can, you can have a really good beer.
It's smart packaging.
Yep, and a couple more they save, in the fridge for a little bit later. It's not really designed to age very well, so, get to it when you can.
Yeah, and I know people who've tried, and it's just hops are one of those things that fall off, and, alcohol usually helps preserve some of that, but when it's more of the double IPA side versus a double stout, imperial stout, don't do it. Drink it now. There's a reason why it says drink it now, but it is a good beer. People should seek it out. It's usually, 14, 15 bucks for a six-pack, so it's a nice vessel in the 12-ounce can versus a 750 milliliter because, if you want to go get it yourself, you probably don't want to drink a whole bottle necessarily. But in the 12-ounce can, it's nice to break it apart and just have a little bit.
And if you only want to have it even as a single, that's the nice thing about going to Firehouse Liquor.
Absolutely.
They sell them over on their little section where they have a lot of craft beers.
Single sales, yeah.
Yeah, single sales where you can pick up or mix and match and make kind of your own thing. So if you don't want to invest the big $14 in a six-pack or whatever it may be there, go and pick one up for a single one and just try it out.
For a pretty reasonable price, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. A lot cheaper than having it in the bar.
And our other offering today, we have Lagunitas, big brewery people are probably aware of. It's their undercover investigation shutdown ale. So Lagunitas has a lot of fun with what they do, with the beer styles, with the beer names. I don't buy a lot of Lagunitas, so I can't tell you if this is something that's been around for a while. I know it's a limited release, but that could be part of the gimmick, too. It's hard to know. I know they make a lot of beer, and they make a lot of different styles. What's kind of fun about this, it is a big beer, another big beer, so it's a big day for big beer for us. This is a 9.7% alcohol, but the little description they have in small font, as you look through your cheaters over there, I can see you looking over there, but I'll read it for you. It says, we brewed this especially bitter ale in dedication to all the world's would-be astronauts in remembrance of the 2005 St. Patrick's Day massacre on the brewery party grounds and also enjoy a celebration of our 20-day suspension that following January. Do the crime, do the time, get the bragging rights. Cheers. I have no idea what that means, but as we talked...
You may have to look that up.
Yeah, but we talked about a few shows ago. I love labels. I love what people do with them, with the art, with the story. The more you can tell me about the beer without actually telling me anything about the beer, kind of makes it fun. And you know, they kind of have a lot of similar labels. Just it's a Lagunitas beer. Looking at the font, looking at the colors, but that little story makes it kind of a fun note. So about the beer itself, let me take a sip here again because it's been a while since I've had one. Just been talking and talking. You know, it's a well balanced beer. You get a little hit of the malt on the front end, but then the hop comes through on the back end. Nice copper color to it, maybe a little caramel color. It's a fun beer. I like it. It's something I would definitely seek out again.
Yeah, it has an interesting like overtone flavor to it. It's nice. I don't want to say copper, but it kind of comes off as just a slight acidity to it, but it's a really nice smoothness to it. I think you missed one part of the label, which I find humorous, which is I have a hard time believing the IBU is actually 66.6. But again, having a little bit of fun with the IBU, that normally most people would only put the 66, but maybe they're having a little fun there. So 66.6. So
please explain. No, I'm joking.
But no, I've always kind of liked the Lagunitas stuff. They definitely are a little more of a flavor forward kind of a brewery, kind of a la like a Surly and stuff. But I'm definitely enjoying this. It's like I said, it goes down really pretty smooth, especially at the 9.7. I'm not picking up the heat so much at when you get up to that high, IBU. But
and let me do Ira interpretation. I mean, when you say flavor forward, you just mean a little more aggressive in what they're doing.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, I kind of like because depending on the brewery, if a brewery is really like hits you in the front of the face with flavor, I'm okay with that as long as I kind of know they're going ahead. And Lagunitas kind of has always been that way for me. You know, they're a big hop forward kind of, thing.
Sure. But technically every beer has flavor. But for people who may not drink beer with you as often as I do, they may not know what you actually mean. So right. I just wanted to clarify.
It's not going to be your Kolsch, your cream ale, that kind of a thing.
It hits you in the face.
Yeah, you get a bunch of flavor up front, and for the non-beer drinker, it may be the thing that turns people off a little bit, but I've always respected Lagunitas for that, and because of it, you get some kind of fun flavor.
Yeah, and as I take a second, third, fourth sip here, I mean, I'm getting a little sweetness now, too, on the back and on my tongue, kind of, as it lingers there.
Yeah, I wish I could describe the flavor, but it's not a bad flavor. It's an interesting...
Good describers, we are not.
To it.
We like it. Yeah, thumbs up, right? Do.
If you want to try either one of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, like we always say, you can find them south on Highway 3, conveniently located at Firehouse Liquor in Dundas.
Look for the fire truck. All right, we're coming now from Montgomery Brewing Company, and you guessed it, Montgomery. We're out here celebrating our one-year anniversary with our first guest from last year. Appreciate you guys hosting us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
It's great for us to be here. We haven't done many live shows or recorded on-site, I should say. This isn't live. We're not live, but we're here on-site. We've got a good crowd here on an early evening on a Friday night. We are recording this ahead of time. I'm sure by the time we end, it's going to be pretty packed. But we want to come experience Montgomery. Obviously, Ira and I have been here a lot, but we want to give you guys a little credit for taking a chance as much as it was on us last year. Like, who? Corey? Who? Ira? Who? You guys want to come to Northfield and talk about beer? And no hesitation there. So we appreciate that support. And obviously, you guys have been good friends for last year in different ways of supporting the show, whether it's just simply liking us on Twitter, like post, and or sharing beer with us for us to share with others and make people aware from you. So we couldn't think of a better place to celebrate our one-year anniversary.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to this one. Just obviously, as anyone who's listened to the show even remotely knows, I'm a huge fanboy for Montgomery, just from atmosphere, beer, and everything else. And of course, we get to chat with some of the people today, not only AJ and Chuck, but in a little bit Lindsay and Jay, some of the people that really bring some of that extra character to what is Montgomery Brewing Company. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you guys have the distinction of being our first second-time guests. So
I had to think about how we'd label this on the internet, because everyone just every show we've had is just the brewery name. So I think we're going with Montgomery Brewing Returns.
Right on.
So we'll stick with that.
Better than Strikes Back.
That's right. Well, that might be the third time when you guys are on next time. Yeah. Let's go with that. As Ira said, we've got Chuck and AJ on with us right now. Chuck is one of the co-owners, correct?
Yeah.
And AJ is the head brewer?
Yeah, correct.
And then we've got Lindsay and Jay coming, and they do sales and taproom space. So we're going to sit down with you guys for a while and see how it goes, and we'll swap you out eventually. Because you guys are our second time first guest, I don't know how you phrase that.
I'm not sure
First time, second visitors.
Yeah. Have another drink and figure it out.
I'm only halfway through this first delicious beer, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. We don't know what the hell we're doing here. We don't have our normal formula because you guys have been on the show before. So I think we'll just talk about kind of how the last year's gone. And when you were on the show about a year ago, you were about 2 years into it, I think, at that time. Now you're in year three, looking at year four. By the time this airs, you'll already have your anniversary celebration. Talk a little bit about that, what people had missed out on if they're listening to us now.
Well, first, I'd like to say thanks for having us on. I mean, I have an hour drive in, so I actually love listening to the podcast. I look forward to it every time it comes out. This last year, so we're celebrating our third year anniversary after this airs, but this is going into year four. We've learned a ton. We've added a lot of new equipment this year. So we used to kind of moving from the homebrew scale to more of a professional brewing system, which allows us to fine-tune some stuff. AJ's been hammering out some great recipes. And just trying to hammer away and do as much as we can in a short period of time. It seems like every week there's 10 more things that we need to do.
Well, it's a constant battle, right? I mean, that's a small business issue, but also when you have a product that you have to turn out every week, that's probably a separate issue.
And the small team is hard, because every time you think you have a handle of something, it's like, oh, now we have to order labels, or hey, we're short on a pallet of cans. Do we order one or five pallets of cans, and where are we going to get them from? How quick can we get them?
Well, that was going to be a question I had. Obviously, AJ does the brewing, Jay's in the tap room, Lindsay does sales and distribution. What the hell do you do?
What do I do, right?
A little of everything, right?
I'm coming hard.
I do a little bit of everything. So if kegs need to be washed and AJ's got a ton to do, I'll do wash kegs. I'll manage inventory. I'll work with AJ on recipes. Just kind of make sure everything's moving pretty well. Sure. I do the label designs. I work with the label design people. I work with the label printing people. I sample a lot of beer and make sure that it does to par.
Quality control.
That's a title.
Very important aspect of this business.
So you're the everyman around here.
Right.
I know when we stop and we see you work in the room, obviously you guys have regulars being kind of a local watering hole, and I mean that in a positive way, obviously. But there's new faces that come in all the time. So you do everything.
Yeah, I learn it and then pass it along. Yep. It's kind of the easiest way to do it, so you can go on to the next task.
Chuck, you talked a little bit about the system being upgraded. AJ, you want to explore that a little bit more? What were you guys brewing on before? Where are you at now?
We moved into glycol fermenters, which is pretty exciting. It gives you a lot more control and flexibility with your beers, and lets you, take them to the next level, really. Which is what I think we've done here this past year.
Is it just an upgrade in the system itself, or does it increase your capacity as well?
We've done both. So we got bigger fermenters. So it has increased our capacity a little bit, which is great, because we're increasing our distribution quite a bit as well. So it allows for bigger batches and, ultimately, less brewing.
Does it open up any new styles of beer, with having the glycol? Does it really give you a chance to maybe fine-tune or pick a beer that might be harder to do?
Yes. We've started doing lagers and pilsners now,
okay,
which is pretty exciting for me. I love them, so it's nice to start playing with that a little bit.
Is that... I've had it one time, and it's not a beer style I'm familiar with. I think, is it the Pivo you guys do?
Pivo, yeah.
Pivo? Is that a lager?
That originally was an ale.
Okay.
Pivo, it means beer in Czech.
Okay.
So Zlaté Pivo is golden beer, golden ale. But AJ just put out his first lager. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, turned out really well.
Yeah. That's another title I can take as plumber. So I got to learn glycol on the whole thing. That was interesting, a lot of fun, a lot of glue.
Was that a skill you had to acquire working through it, or is it something you had experience in before?
I had zero experience in it.
YouTube it or what?
YouTube. Pro Brewer has a great article on chiller sizing and things like that. So we had to get a new chiller for one room, and then one of the chillers that we had previous is a little bit undersized, but it should work fine for now.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the foundational beers, but before I get there, with the new brewing system, I know, and last time we were in here, we were talking to you, Chuck, about some of the bigger beers you guys have been doing that you've had the opportunity to do in the last year and maybe do in a different way that have maybe turned them out a little bit better. And we talked about a couple of them on two shows ago, I believe, that you guys shared with us, the Jackalope and the Pheasant Hill. I think those were the two. Talk about your big beers that you guys are doing out here, these barrel-aged beers.
Yeah, the barrel-aged beers are exciting. Personally, I love the bourbon and the oak on the back of those with the flavor profiles.
Yeah, I agree.
It just adds a ton of complexity that you wouldn't be able to get other than out of a barrel.
So where does that recipe development come up? Is it just because you know you like that style and hell, let's try it, we'll figure it out, or
it's a lot of quality. I wouldn't say I call that R&D, I guess.
Sure.
Not really quality control, but checking out what's hot, buying different beers and seeing, you know, AJ and I will share them and pick up the notes that we're actually looking for.
Sure.
Out of that style of beer. And then this is our third year on using a certain barrel type, and so this year we branched out to two different types of barrels. Bourbon barrels. So we know what we're going to get out of the barrel, so we can formulate the recipe around it. The Jackalope. AJ actually did a great job, and just we essentially blended four batches of beer into one.
Wow.
So we have a special release coming out in February for the one part that's... We couldn't fit all four barrels into one fermenter, so we have... I think eight cases.
Yeah. Well, one of them was heavy on the cherry wood malt. And so that one was the one we held back in, and that one's pretty special.
Yeah.
That's the one that we had.
Yeah, that was the one we were enjoying, and it was very enjoyable. We're sitting in a, enjoying, because we talked a little bit beforehand. What I loved about it was, again, the cherry, like you talked about, the smokiness was there, and then that cherry just kind of snuck in, just like, yep. It was there, but it was so wonderfully smooth and sweet, and we were definitely enjoying it. And between that and our beers of the week, it was a very enjoyable time recording the show.
Best show ever. Well, the idea of the barrels, I mean, you mentioned the Jackalope, which is your smoked imperial stout.
Yeah.
You have this cherry spin on it that should be out by the time this airs. Obviously, you've done the general Russian imperial stout for a couple of years.
Yep.
And then the Pheasant Hill, that's bourbon barrel aged imperial brown ale, right?
Yep, an imperial
brown.
So
you got a lot going on.
And actually, the imperial brown won best of show at the Mankato Beer Festival.
Oh, last month, right, in January?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice, congrats.
Yeah, it was I didn't make it. I went to the Vikings game the day after, so the wife would only allow me to do one. But it sounds like it's the first time Mankato didn't win. So it was kind of a big deal for us. We're really the small guys kind of coming into the market. So it was
a big deal when the away team wins, right?
Yeah.
Unlike recent events. No.
Yeah, right.
we better get more beer.
Yeah.
It's getting sad in here now.
Sorry.
So tell me a little bit about the idea of acquiring barrels. Is there a supplier that you work with, or do you go directly through a distillery? And what's that process like? Because I think a lot of people, as these beers become more prominent on the shelves and people see it, and maybe they try a sample here and there and they like it, there's a lot of work that goes into actually creating that beer.
The procurement of the barrels is kind of a crapshoot. You get a lot of the... you get a lot of spam coming in, so you're not really sure what vendors to work with.
Sure.
I asked around from a couple breweries, and they suggested a certain one, and they've been good. As far as the brewing portion of it, it takes time. You have to find space, right? Even at a five-barrel brewing system, we are almost out of space, and we have almost double the space in back. But you have to find a place to put the barrels, to store the barrels, and you have to find a place to store 3,000 bottles, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you don't have a lot of space, it can take
up. I've got a basement you can use anytime. Right? Come on over. It's a short 30-minute drive.
Yeah.
So this is a question, and I'm going to show that I don't know what I'm talking about. Can you reuse the, you know, so they brew it, you know, they distill in it, you have a bourbon barrel, then you brew in it. How much reuse can you get out of it before you start losing any flavor? Can you reuse them at all, or then is then after you've brewed in them, you did your brewing in them, is the barrel dead at that point?
Well, we have found that the first run in those barrels is the best.
Yep.
We have done second runs in those barrels. Well, the results were fine. It needs a lot more time, and you're not going to get the same intensity out of those barrels.
Sure.
So we've just been running them one time, and we found that you get the best results with one run.
So it goes from whiskey to beer. Is there a next person behind you waiting for those barrels that wants to use it for something else? Are the cideries lining up yet? Or
I wouldn't say cidery. I think that you could put... We actually sell them for rain barrels.
Okay.
Now. We repurpose them out that way because it's easy and we don't have to worry about it. Did we clean this one? We really don't care. But I know that...
Plus, like, you get some residual booze when it rains, right?
Right, exactly.
See guys, if you ever see a guy sitting at the bottom of the spout, you
know why. It's a happy gnome.
By the way, how can I buy one?
We'll talk after the show. But I think, like, I've heard of coffee places, and they'll put beans into them and let them dry out because they're wet in there before they roast them, so that would work, too. I was just talking with people here before. It would be fun to find a place that does bourbon and then does syrup and then bring that in and kind of get that mixture in there.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Road trip to Vermont to find that place?
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
I know they tapped trees in Faribault, the Riverbend Nature Center. Maybe you can work something with them.
That's a good idea.
I know there's a couple of people out there who go and tap them and turn the syrup into the sap into syrup.
If anyone's listening, info@montgomerybrewing.com.
Thank you.
Right. Well, the show's huge in Faribault, so I know we've got dozens of listeners there. I mean, hundreds of listeners there. So. Yeah, the bourbon craze, I shouldn't call it a craze, it's been around for a long time, but more breweries are taken to it, and I don't know if that's a availability of barrels have become more higher availability, or just that more people are asking for them, but I've always enjoyed the bourbon barrel aged beers, like Dragon's Milk is probably my favorite. That's a great value buy.
Yep.
From New Holland, but obviously what you guys have done have been great here. It's actually turned me on to going back and trying spirits. I bought a bottle of bourbon last week, and it's not the same. I mean, it's. I had too much fun in college, like a lot of people with the hard alcohol side. That's why I'm a beer guy now. But just sitting there sipping on that was fun. But bourbon barrel beer, I mean, a Jackalope's a great example. Sit there and watch a Wild game for 2 hours, and you can drink 10, 12 ounces, maybe split the bottle with somebody. But
yep.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the barrel craze... I think the consumers help driving the larger breweries to do it, but I think in general it's still a risk because you don't really know what is in that barrel. You don't want to open it up before you start. At least, I mean, I'm not an expert, so I don't really know. But from my standpoint, I wouldn't want to open it up and start checking into it before you start dumping beer into it, because once it's open, you're allowing it to get bugs. So we actually lost a couple barrels this year, and we only did 14 barrels. So if you're at a larger scale and you wanted to do 50, it's kind of a risk. And I think that's why they're a little more expensive to do. You have to have the space and the time, and you have to go through the packaging portion of it.
Well, it's a lot of monitoring and babysitting them.
Now, when you lost those barrels, did you bury them out back by the shed, or what do you do with them? Are those the rain barrel ones? You play taps or something?
We played taps, yeah. as it was going down the drain, it was a total taps. It was a sad day.
Well, it should be. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, with the demand, and we talk about everyone starting to use them more and more, is there is it harder to get a barrel now? You know, is there a greater demand, high cost, harder to receive, or is there really a plethora of barrels out there? And the beer market just hitting it now?
Well, I think the whiskey, the bourbon market's just as strong as the beer market. So they're always going to be turning the barrels around. All that's going to happen is the supply and demand is going to drive the price up. So sure. Depending on what brand you go with or what vendor you go with, you can always look for a cheaper one if you want. You always have to take into account that you have to work with shipping, too. I mean, if you find a cheaper barrel, but it's four more states away, the cost is kind of null.
Right.
Yeah.
So we talked about this when you handed off Jackalope to us, about the idea of chasing after the smoked beer, and it's something you guys could do. And I bring that up because being the size you are and being probably where you are geography-wise, you guys have the flexibility to kind of try some things but not have to go to be too crazy. And we talked about this a little bit before we started recording that, you know, if you guys were in a more populated area of St. Paul, Minneapolis, that you might be forced to maybe do things you weren't necessarily comfortable with or chase trends, like, you know, the double, triple, dry hop, cloudiest beer you could ever find kind of thing. And it's not that you guys don't try those things occasionally, but you're not forced to do that. I bring this up because I want to talk about the last year and kind of what you guys have done. Do you appreciate the location of being in Montgomery because you're far enough away that you stand out and you have the privilege, really, to do what you want? And that makes you unique in that way? Or do you still feel those same pressures of, like, well, there's a peanut butter beer or a hazy IPA? And I bring these up because I know you guys have them on, and we talk about it. And I think you can be frank about that a little bit. But it's something that people like, so why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
Right?
I think the pressure is always there, but as far as, you know, we chose Montgomery because the location worked and the town has supported us so well. So I'm really excited that we continue to grow within Montgomery, and Montgomery continues to support us growing. As far as the different types of beers, I love trying different styles.
Sure.
I mean, there's styles that I'm not... haven't really hit me to my heart. Like, I'm not a big sour guy. I think that it has its place, and then maybe I'll get there at some point. But when I have a beer at some other venue, I'm like, wow, this is the best beer I've had in quite a while. I get excited talking with AJ about it or bringing a sample of it to him and say, what can we do to make this work?
And this tasty beer is kind of kicking in now, so I guess the better way of me to ask was, you don't feel that pressure to always pump out a new, bigger beer every 2 weeks. You guys have strategically done these barrel-aged beers. You've strategically done the peanut butter beer. You probably assume it'll sell, but you didn't have to do it. You're not trying to one-up yourself every batch. You guys can rely on your five core beers.
I was going to go with four. The Shelter Belt, Northside Blonde,
Redbird,
and the Chief, right? Well, those were the four that I was going with.
Those were the original four, and then we added
double IPAs.
Double IPA.
Which is outstanding.
I love the double IPA, but...
Agreed.
That one's gotten me in more trouble, but it's also my... When I'm going to a party, and I get a chance to bring a growler along...
Noise!
I bring a growler the double IPA, because it is one of my favorites, but... I'm also supporting today. Wearing my T-shirt, so yeah. We finally have some audience participation here.
AJ's
being live, so.
So this is why it's fun to record on site. Right?
Yeah, of course.
This doesn't happen in a radio studio. Maybe this is too philosophical, or maybe not philosophical enough. But let's talk about the last year and how you feel you've grown, AJ, as a brewer, and where you see yourself going. But let's do a quick rundown of what people can expect when they come to the tap room and find in crawlers and liquor stores, but we'll save that for Lindsay to talk about. But we just rattled off the five beers. You want to go through them real quick and let people know what they are?
Yeah. Well, we're running 11 taps. Something that's been exciting for us is a nitro line.
Oh, yeah.
So we've been playing with that a little bit, too, and that's... fun, and Chuck has loved putting that in.
Is that for your lager?
I've
been hearing more people are doing
it.
It
could
now.
Be. Yeah, we haven't quite got there yet.
I'm not on that yet. I hear people are doing that, though.
A nitro lager?
Yeah. I still can't accept
a
nitro IPA yet. That's me. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, we've been trying a lot of new stuff this year, which is fun and exciting. Chuck and I have been writing recipes together for,
weeks? No.
Yeah.
Right.
Long time.
Just start.
So we kind of got the process down, and we've been we've had pretty good luck with what we've been trying that's new. If it's not exactly how we like it, we, like Chuck was saying, we're small and nimble enough where we can tune it in pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, we still have we're playing with the tap number 2, which used to be the Redbird. But we still have you know, our core beers. And those other ones are constantly rotating based on the season and whatever the hell we want to do.
Yeah, Ira alluded to this, that from out of the gate 3 years ago, he's been a fan. And I came maybe 2 weeks after that, and I've been a fan that long, too. You've put out good beer, and I'm not saying that just because you're on the show. But in the last year, I'm assuming you feel like you've grown as a brewer, that you've refined your skill. Obviously, you've got the new system. You can play around a little bit more. When you look back on the last year, year three for you, I mean, do you feel pretty accomplished by what you've done with beers big and small and where you find yourself today?
Yeah, AJ's really been killing it on the beer. So we do have our five flagships, and AJ alluded that we are removing the Redbird for a while. That's our rye IPA.
I disagree. No.
Well, the reason why is that we had an American Pale Ale called Flag Street.
Yep.
And that beer, in our mind, was a really, really solid American Pale Ale. Ton of nose, the right fruitiness, but the yeast strain that we used did not work with the brewing system that we had at the time. So to bring that in and keep it fresh, we're bringing that back in at least for a few months. And then AJ's done a ton of specialty beers as well. So we had Hop Junkies Volume 1. It was the first of our series of just chasing down hops. What kind of different hops can we do? Today, the beers you're drinking is one of our experimental pale ales. We call it XPA. That uses a beer from hop from Biersteiner. It's got a number. I don't remember what it is. It's 8675309.
309. Jenny.
That, right?
You should call it Jenny.
Yeah.
Trademark that.
If it sticks around, that's what it will do.
But it's
Jenny.
It's got a good bitterness to it. You can tell it's a strain of Mosaic. You get a lot of garlic in that tail end of it.
Yep. Just lingers.
It really does.
Great.
It's a different strain. I don't think we'll brew it again, but we know what that hop does now. So that's what makes it fun. We don't have to do a 5-gallon carboy. We can actually bring it to the consumer, knowing that the process that we have in place and the equipment that we have in place, at least we'll make a good enough beer that we can build off from it.
Okay. Well, we'll wrap up here so we can get Lindsay and Jay in, but as you look ahead to year 4, you alluded to seasonal beers and maybe doing some more stuff. Like, what can you share with the listeners now that they can look forward to in March and beyond for this year? And then where are you going to be in 5 years?
No, 5 years? Well, it's hard to say. As far as what's coming up in March, we do have some beers that we're playing around with
August or whatever.
Our peanut butter or peanut buster porter has been a big hit as far as what's available out there, and it's been good support behind that. We just wrote down the recipe for an Imperial. We have no idea how it's going to turn out. We're shooting for 8.5%. We're getting some specialty malts. We're adding a few things and taking a few things out to bring that alcohol up from, I want to say, 6.3 to about 8.5.
See, that's a nice twist. I can only mean, there's been a lot of peanut butter beers in the market now, locally in the state.
Mm-hmm.
I can only think of one Imperial one, so that's a new window to break through. For you.
Yep. Well, we're hoping for the best. Like I said, we've been writing recipes together a long time. We've had pretty good luck with them turning out pretty well.
And I got to share, last time we're in here, and I'm going to give Chuck a little grief here, as he stares me down.
What are you going to do?
No, it's good.
All right.
I came in, we were talking about the peanut butter beer, the peanut buster, And I went to this brewery a long time ago, this summer or whatever, and I told them, I was kind of burned down on peanut butter beers because I had gone through the, I don't want to call it a phase because they're still out and people love them.
Oh, it's
for
a
me,
phase.
It was a phase. For me, it was a phase because I'm one of those guys that, okay, this is the new thing. I'm going to go embrace it and see how it goes. And if I get tired after four or five different offerings, like from different places, then it's not going to linger for me. Like the hazy IPA and the Northeast IPA, I'm like, I can still dig those. But the peanut butter thing, I love peanut butter. Anyway, I got burned down on it. I went to this one place, like, oh, but ours is different. Ours is different. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm good. He's like, no, you got to try it. So I tell Chuck this, and it was good. And then Chuck does the same thing. He's like, no, but you should try ours, though. And it was good, and people should come out and try it. But I just got done telling you a story about it. It was basically forced on me. And I love peanut butter. Like, I'll sit and eat a peanut butter sandwich, but, like, for some reason, I have, like, this mental separation now where, like, peanut butter in liquid form, I'm like,
yeah.
But I know people will drink three of them in a day. But I have more of, like, I buy a four-pack, and it's, like, once a week. But that, again, that's subjectivity, right? That's taste.
Yes.
Those things don't always translate to all people.
We'll make a peanut butter milkshake chocolate jelly beer for you.
and people will come pay $8 a pint for that.
We had a peanut butter jelly time down at the Kegs and Barrel Festival down in Rochester. I think Grand Rounds was put it together. It was actually a pretty interesting beer. It was, they took a peanut butter beer and then were actually adding basically a grape.
Yeah, because the theme of the festival was incorporating grapes because it was three breweries and a winery. So,
well, the best flavor of all the jellies.
Yep. Yeah. And it turned out well.
Yep.
So I just got to give you a little, tease you a little bit.
Have you had our peanut butter? You want to try it?
Nah, I'm good. But I'm going to stick with the Jenny over here.
Right on. The Jenny.
So, well, I think we'll wind down this part with you guys, Chuck and AJ, and we'll welcome in Lindsay and Jay. Talk a little bit more about the business side and kind of the taproom space, the great taproom space. So thanks again. We couldn't think of a better place to be for our one-year anniversary show. We'll have to maybe not wait another year. People aren't returning my calls anymore, so I might have to come back a little more often. And we'll be back in maybe March, I think. No. But thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was really always a pleasure.
You guys going to stick around and listen to what we have to say, or are you going to go do work? We are taking your time. I'll just keep talking.
We'll have another beer, and we'll watch and see what happens.
All right. Stick around.
Unfortunately, our on-site interview at Montgomery Brewing went long for our scheduled time here on 95.1 The One. You can catch the rest of our interview with Lindsay and Jay on our extended version of our podcast on ontapnorthfield.com or your preferred podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Player FM.
Hey, this is Andrew Burns. This style of the week is another British style, bitter. Now, as the name suggests, it is a bitter-tasting beer, which means it's got quite an amount of hops in it, but we're talking about hops used for bitterness, not for that hoppy flavor like American craft drinkers like. This is a traditional British style that's sort of an amber-reddish color and is quite malty. Actually, you get a lot of caramely, toffee, malty flavors out of it, despite the name bitter. It's certainly more bitter than other styles, but it's really a balance between that malt and that bitter that makes this beer shine. Now, of course, being an English beer, the only proper way to serve it is on cask, and British folks call that real ale. So that would be a warmer beer that's got a lower carbonation, and if you're really getting the real deal, it'll be hand-pulled. So if you don't see your bartender's arms flexing to pull that beer towards you, it's not a real ale.
And here's a look at regional news. Spiral Brewing announced it will open in April. The Hastings-based brewery said it will start brewing beer in the next few weeks as it wraps up construction projects. Opening day is to be determined because, as always, there are still inspections to be completed. Keep an eye on their Facebook page or hear the news segment for the latest.
The team at Tillian Brewing Company has been hard at work. They started brewing last week and have several tanks of beer fermenting. The first round of brewing includes an English nut brown ale and a dark chocolate oatmeal stout. Tillian, located in Cannon Falls, is aiming to open its doors on March 10th with a grand opening on St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Angry Hog Brewery and Taproom said late last month that it ran into some setbacks and unforeseen mechanical issues, but they're hoping to open the Austin-based business this spring. Painting, drain installation, and other construction continues on the facility. Well, that's going to put a wrap on this show. Thanks to Chuck, AJ, Lindsay, and Jay for giving us some of their time over at Montgomery Brewing Company. It was a great show. I love being there. It's always fun when we're on site somewhere, having the ambiance of the crowd, and the roaring crowd, I should say.
Of course.
They're going wild. So appreciate everyone who came out for the show specifically. I appreciate those who came just for the beer and had no idea we were going to be there and were nice enough anyway. It's fun when we get to do that, and like we said at the top of the show, like we said throughout the show, we love the work we've done with those guys. They've been so supportive of what we do. Clearly, we're fans of what they do, so it's just a love fest all around. So thanks to that crew.
I'm glad I converted you into a fanboy.
Well, yeah, I was always a fan, but maybe not quite a fanboy. I mean,
I was the fanboy, original fanboy, but I think I might have you on board. So.
Do we need to make like fanny packs and put Chuck's face on them or something like that? You want to try, or AJ's face on there? We could try that. We probably know a t-shirt guy or like an embroiderer.
Wait. I'll get one shirt. I'll have Chuck's face on the back, and you get one with AJ's, and we'll go from there. And then we just like walk down the street, you know, skipping and hopping along with her face on the back of the shirt.
Skipping and hopping.
Yeah, of course.
I'd like to see you try to skip. Well, thanks to those guys. Obviously, we love working with you. You've been great friends in the last year, so keep up the good work. I'm sure we'll see you soon. That's going to be a 335-hour break for us. We're back in 2 weeks on March 3rd. With Tillian Brewing. They're going to be opening here in the spring. They're looking at an April opening. We're going to have them just before they open so we can help get the word out that they will indeed be opening. Like a lot of breweries, they've run into a couple obstacles that have delayed their opening, but they are finally here. They are now brewing beer, as we talked about in the news segment, so we're excited to have them on the show to talk about what people can expect from them. They're just down the road from us. They will become like the fourth closest brewery to us because, again, we're blessed here to have three breweries so close, and they're, what, 15 minutes down the road. So,
and I'm looking forward to that one. I mean, it's a really nice spot to be. You know, you have that. You have, of course, the winery right across the street and a pretty darn good bar and restaurant in Mill Street Tavern right there. And then I forget the name of the cafe. But, yeah, if you want to grab a little food and, then maybe grab a beer or a wine or both, it's really kind of a fun space. I'm really proud of Cannon Falls for what they're doing to turn that whole space around. I mean, the winery led the way, but it's really kind of a fun place to go visit now.
It's turned into a really cool area, and Tillian specifically looks like they're doing some really nice things with it. Looks like a beautiful space based on photos that I've seen via the internet. So I can't wait to actually step in the space and see what they're doing. So,
well, and I'm kind of looking forward to visiting the brewery before or after watching my Dukes beat up on the Cannon Falls Bears over there.
Come on now. So. They listen to the show, so
I know. You know, Keith Myers, he'll get at the joke, a little bit. I rub him a little bit.
But. Although, if they don't bring this up, then we know they didn't listen to this show. Yeah, so, right. I guess it works
both
ways.
All right, so I'm calling out Keith Myers, Rich Burr, and... I'll just leave it to those two. I'll give those two a hard time, and we'll leave it at that, so...
Et cetera.
Yes.
Et cetera. Next week we're going to have Northfield Outdoors.
Actually, I'll add Taylor Pagel in there. We'll give him a hard time.
There
as
you
well,
go.
So
on this time slot, 11 a.m. Saturday next week, you have Northfield Outdoors here on 95 to 1 AM 1080 KYMN Radio. So give those guys a listen. They always have a fun guest on talking about different things with the outdoors, as I'm a fan of. You're occasionally a fan of. So we talked about, I don't know if I should say this because maybe we'll do it next year, but we talked about doing like a crossover show, like a super special show, and didn't come together for this winter season. We're looking at doing like an ice fishing show, and didn't come together. So maybe if we're both on air still next year, we can consider doing that. Well, Ira, I appreciate you. I really do. Appreciate the last year. You put a lot of work into this.
I appreciate you, too.
Well, no, I sincerely appreciate the time we spent together chatting with people, drinking some beers, drinking maybe some days more beers than we should have, the work that you put in on some of the producing side of stuff as I do more of the planning end. So it's been fun. I look forward to year two, and I look forward to sharing that with all our listeners. And it really truly is a listenership. We don't talk audience that often, but we do have a number of people. We know this is 2018. We know who looks at our stuff and listens to our stuff. So we know there are people out there who hopefully enjoy our show. I was going to say enjoy our show, but they're listening at least. We don't know if
hopefully
they enjoy
they're not
it.
Listening out of anger, but
so we appreciate you giving us an hour every other week to hear a couple guys who love beer just talk about and introduce you to new people, new beer, new places. And we hope you stick with us moving forward. We'll see you in 2 weeks as usual. Cheers.
Cheers.